Up next, Panda and Hot Pot, the Chinese show on Radio Ara.
Hello and welcome to Panda and Hot Pot. I'm your host, Victoria. Today is actually the last episode of Panda and Hot Pot for now, and we're extremely honored to welcome a very special guest to our studio. He is Chinese by birth, but Luxembourgish by heart, and he is also incredibly proudly a first mayor of Chinese descent in Luxembourg. Warm welcome, Zhu Dali. Welcome to Panda and Hot Pot.
Yeah, hello. Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcoming. Hi.
I want to go straight into it, Dali, because it's really great that you spend the time to talk to our listeners. We are a community radio show dedicated to people who are either Chinese or have any interest with China or simply feeling interested about China. I just wanted you to give us a little bit about, you know, how you ended up in Luxembourg, and then now you are the mayor of a fairly substantial commune.
Yes. First, of course, thank you for having me here. I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk to listeners who have a particular interest in Luxembourg and Chinese culture. Yeah, how I ended up here. I mean, you don't choose actually Luxembourg by accident.
Right, why is that? Tell me about it.
I mean, it's such a small country and probably unknown to Chinese, to most Chinese in the 80s when my parents came here. Mm. It was actually the fact that from my mother's side, there has been overseas here for a longer time.
Right.
And of course, due to the living conditions at that time in China, and of course also no one at the time expected China to be this strong.
Absolutely.
Today.
Yeah? Yeah.
So to ensure that the future generations don't need to suffer, they moved actually to Luxembourg.
Mm.
And as most Chinese overseas, due to language barriers and cultural differences.
Yeah.
They choose the hospitality.
Right, yes.
The hospitality department.
Yes.
The industry, yeah.
And your father, actually, he is a composer. Is that right? He's a musician.
Yes. Yeah, so basically, my father is a musician, a composer, exactly. And my mother was a nurse.
Right.
So you see that backgrounds from where they come and what they were doing when they arrived here is obviously
it's quite different.
Very different. Yeah.
And obviously, you also born in Luxembourg.
Yes, I'm born in Dudelange. It's in the south of Luxembourg, and I was the first Chinese born there.
Wow, yeah. That was a different era, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And you were born and raised in Luxembourg, and but then you obviously your family, your household is a Chinese family. Do you feel the cultural differences? You know, when you go to school, meet your classmates, your friends who are presumably, you know, Luxembourgish or maybe Europeans, but probably not so many Chinese back then around you, and then you grown up in the Chinese household. Do you yourself feel, you know, it's quite different and I need to perhaps adapt to both sides?
So basically it's the same culture. No, I'm kidding. Of course, there was a big difference. There's a big difference between... It was like a different world. If you're stepping outside of the house door, it was you were entering another world, kind of. And although when you're a kid, you get used to it pretty quickly.
Yes.
I think the difference would be bigger if I wouldn't have grown up here.
Mm.
If I came with, I don't know, like some Chinese friends who came with 10 years or teenagers, then they have a lot of more difficulties to adapt.
Yes, that's true.
But I grew up naturally into this two-world kind of thing. And I got a lot of advantages out of it. I mean, I got to see the good and the bad side of the two cultures, and I could, in my brain, I could figure out what's the best for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can take advantage of both sides as well, can't you?
Yes, exactly. I mean, the education at home was simply stricter. And,
really?
Yeah, it was very old school.
Right.
Chinese,
so. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was very old schoolish. And in the school, of course, it was much more relaxed. So
right.
Basically, it was more like playing in school and studying at home, something like that. Yeah.
I assume that when you were growing up, Luxembourg was also a very different place, wasn't it? It was perhaps much less international, and now obviously Luxembourg is sort of very multicultural, multinational, and people from all over the world come into Luxembourg. So did you also feel the change in the Luxembourg society, you know, as you're growing up?
Yes, the society itself, of course, it opened up much more, especially in the last 15, 20 years. I remember when I started going to primary school, actually, I was the only Chinese person in the whole canton school.
Wow.
Yes, and there wasn't just much Chinese, and there was one Korean kid who was adopted, but that was it. that was it. And of course, also the landscape itself, from the Chinese perspective, there were just a couple of restaurants because it was the only industry that Chinese people were working at. But if you see now, there are banks, financial institutions, tech companies,
yeah,
and all sorts of different industries where Chinese people are working in. And this proves also that not only that the Chinese side has grown much, but also that Luxembourg is in need of these talents.
Yes. I think a lot of people are quite curious about how you know, at such a young age, already is the mayor of a fairly big and substantial commune in Luxembourg. How did you get into politics? And what it's like, you know, you've been mayor for 5-6 months now. And what do you think?
I would say age is relative. It depends.
Right.
There are also other mayors that are even younger than me. I think that what got me into politics was some dissatisfactions with the functioning of certain things. I mean, it's that what gets you started in some kind of sense, but it's not straightforward.
No.
I mean, as I said, I still was the only Chinese kid
in
the commune, right? And they accepted me like I was no different.
Mm.
For me, obviously, I'm very happy about it, but it's not that straightforward.
Mm. I mean, and you have to work for it as well.
Yeah, I thought so, but no, it was the people were so kind.
Mm.
And when you grow up, I mean, it's probably also something about giving back something. And since we are all also searching for some contributions and the meaning in the things we are doing, I think politics is the way to go.
Yeah, particularly working on a sort of communal level, there's a strong sense of service, isn't there? Serving the residents, serving the people living in your commune, and looking after their well-being, etc. Do you also feel the sort of strong sense of responsibility, you know, now that lay upon your shoulder, on top of all the glories of being a mayor?
Yeah, but the mayor, actually, for me, the role of a mayor is it's a bridge builder.
Right.
Yeah, between politics and people, between ideas and reality, and also between today and the future. So it's in that sense, the role is of course contribution.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main part.
Der Girard Ali am Plow, ob Aufhängerpisten, der Bommel leer, am noch riecht aus in den Thierry, aber anonymer nicht aus in den Frieden. Als große Künstler, André Hoffmann, als Mamba am Cercle Münster. Ich sind am Tedeum, an Hockey-Kleidung. Ich sind der Grand Duc an Grand Duchesse, die sich geschieht. Ich sind der Bündel, die glatt kein Sau kennt. Ich sind der Mittal, den einer Dach und der Brick pennt. Ich sind der Frank, an der Schucke, Budat, Lea, links der Kacheln. Für Kackmaschine, Futter, ich sind alles, an ich sind zu verspricht der Fuß, der volle Gast, der sich mal gekämmt hat, der Junker, dem am Kolumbiere eng gedämmt hat, sind der Bartolomeo, den Femin und Mars verbiet, der Sturm hat den an den Villa um mich auf Hals, ich sind den Tonner. Just am Circle Beige, ich sie bestürmt am Fuchse fern, am Colette Flash, ich sind der Champ, Schuster, der just nach vier Wochen schreibt, der Mark Thomas, der sich selber lohen, null an den Kap treibt. Den Hollerisch, den an aller Öffentlichkeit bitte Robert Biver, den er dann die Ege Promis-Kontroll knüpft. Ich seh'n alles, dann ich seh'n nicht. Madeleine, lad, de Klonik rät. Et gibt ein letzte Bursch, an et gibt mehr. Los, et gut sind.
I think you said really well that being a mayor also means being a bridge between politics and people, and just, you know, sharing ideas or delivering messages. Do you have any stories and examples you could share with us? Actually, before you tell me a story, I'll tell you a story from my side. I met a real estate agent a while ago because we were moving houses, and we went to see this house, and the agent is from Compton. And I told him that I met, your mayor, and he was so proud. And he was telling me that during the previous election, even though I know that you were not elected at that time as a mayor, but he said he was helping in the whole election process, and he really likes you. And he was very happy that now you are the mayor, and he was really sort of looking forward to seeing your work and, you know, how the commune is going to develop in the future, etc. And I thought that was really sweet.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this anecdote. That makes me happy. If you want one particular story that bothered me and got me really into working towards this direction, was that my eldest son actually did not get a place in the creche.
No.
Yeah. And they said, yeah, we checked the criteria, such as if you live there, if you work there, or whatever. And I fulfilled all the criteria.
Yeah.
And at the end, it was a spatial problem.
Yeah.
So and something that the old old mayor just the mayor at the time they were not aware of. I was surprised. And so these are things that, yeah, that
so maybe you,
motivates you.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you want to do something about it.
Especially, because also the differences in age was pretty big with the old mayor. And so maybe she just wasn't aware of the problems of some young people or young parents at the time.
Oh, I think that actually raised a really good point, because we talk a lot in Luxembourg about, you know, how to support young families, particularly in Luxembourg. A lot of expats, you know, they're young and they have a long way in their career path, but they also want to have families, but they don't necessarily have the sort of childcare support. You know, we all say that it takes a village to raise a child. It's absolutely true. But when you are experts living in Luxembourg, so often you are here just yourself and with your small family, not necessarily coming with all the aunties and uncles and grandmas, and right? And so the sort of societal childcare support is vital for supporting young families, as well as the parents of those young families to further enhance their careers. So it's really important that from the commune's level that things can be improved, things can be done. Like you said, like I couldn't get my son into my local crash either, but luckily there were other private options. But it was, you know, a big challenge for a lot of young families in Luxembourg.
Yes, this is, of course, this is a political issue because, for example, in Kanton, we host a lot of expat families, more and more, and it's also a target for the commune to get them also more involved in the everyday life of the commune, and also to raise and talk about their problems, because if we don't want to become a sleeping commune where people only come to sleep and then they go to work again and they come back only to sleep, in that case they have more difficulty to integrate, but also we are not too aware of their problems.
Right, yes.
So we create two bubbles where in one they have the Luxembourgish people and the other one they are the expats. And nobody knows about the problems of each other. And that is, of course, that's a role also of the commune to bring them more closer together.
Well, you actually touched upon the question I wanted to ask you next, which is about integration. And on this program, we talk a lot about how, you know, for Chinese communities, Chinese people, how they can be better integrated with the Luxembourgish society. And you are a quite unique case that you were born and raised in Luxembourg, but you are from a Chinese family. And you obviously integrated perfectly well. But what is your view about the whole concept of integration? Do you think it's necessary for, you know, newly arrived Chinese immigrant families to be more integrated? Or is actually okay, you know, we just live in our expat lifestyle, it doesn't matter?
I think that my case in particular is not everyone's case for China, because I give one good example. I'm very bad connected in the Chinese community.
Right.
I almost know nobody. and that's just how things was for me, because there was no opportunity to meet other Chinese friends, let's say. Mm-hmm. It was just plain Luxembourgish. So for me, of course, now as a politician, I can see only advantages, because also I'm an example of integration.
Yeah.
Because even though all my friends were Luxembourgish, but still at home I was Chinese.
Yes.
So there are a lot of useful lessons I learned at home.
Yeah.
And I could apply them also in the outside world, like friends and stuff. So I think is it important? I think obviously, yes, but and this is also a general challenge of Luxembourg, is to integrate the people so that they become part of the society without being in a bubble. That you speak about it, and it's very funny, because I met during a wedding, I met a couple who worked for 3 years in Luxembourg, who never talked to a Luxembourgish person. Like a Luxembourgish person. I said, how is that possible? that is possible.
It is possible,
so
I must say.
It's not just one side that has to do the effort, it's also the other side. But it's clearly the politics that needs to create the environment that both sides can get into touch easier.
So what would be your, you know, in terms of real work that you wanted to put into place to, like, build this bridge between the local community, the Luxembourgish, or, you know, people have probably from other countries but been living in Luxembourg for a long time with the newcomers who, you know, may or may not want to be so integrated or have, you know, they might want to have their own quiet life forever. But there are also people who might feel that we come to this new country and we want to be more involved. How, you know, what kind of work do you want to put in place in your commune to help that to happen?
For example, for the commune of Kronthurn, we have a yearly festival.
Yeah.
That is a very multicultural festival, mm-hmm. where Kronthurn has also the advantage it has several restaurants.
Oh, nice!
this is actually the festival I'm talking about is on National Day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a music food festival.
Oh, that's fits everybody. Yeah,
yeah, it fits everybody first, but we also want to promote food from different countries. So from all the, we asked all the inhabitants from different countries to do something, and that they get their stand and that they can sell their food. I mean, of course, giving my background as an entrepreneur in restoration, I know the power of food.
Yes.
and the accessibility, and also it's also always a conversation starter.
Yes.
And it's very easy to taste the other culture.
Yes, yes. It sort of, it naturally brings people together, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. When you were, you know, doing all of this work as a mayor in Kronthurn, as a politician in Luxembourg, what kind of difficulties do you encounter? What would be the biggest challenge, do you think?
I think the biggest challenge that I have is not from my background, it's maybe my age and experience. That is,
what do you mean?
That is because the politics in Luxembourg is a bit more complex than you think, maybe.
Right.
And it's deeply rooted, and especially on communal level, because for me, a strong communal policy mm-hmm. is the basis of a national democracy, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's the root. The communal politics needs to be strong if the national politics wants to be strong. So for me, I came from an entrepreneur background.
Yeah.
I had actually no real training or any transfer of knowledges, really. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I came also from the opposition.
Yeah.
So I took the post of the mayor, but I came from the opposition part.
Yeah.
So the most difficult thing that I encounter nowadays is really the lack of some experience. I have no real person I can talk to, except other mayors, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically for the commune of Kronthurn,
right?
Most of the time, I'm with my team only.
Right.
Yeah. And this is, I think, something that can be improved.
Well, this is what your Chinese part should come in, because our great leader Deng Xiaoping once famously said, it's called, go through the river by touching the stone.
I'm touching
exactly
a lot of stones at the moment. Yeah, I'm touching a lot of stones. But I mean, what my advantages are is that... of course, in politics, it's also about people's management and it's about project management.
Yeah.
And these are the things that through my professional career, I'm pretty familiar
mm-hmm.
with. So
yeah.
That gives me, in that sense, a big advantage, I think.
And also, I suppose, because you're not a Korean politician, you know, you had a solid business background yourself mm-hmm. and you're an entrepreneur, you worked on your own project, etc. So you do bring in a very fresh perspective into this this role that perhaps other, you know, traditional mayors in the past would not necessarily have.
Yeah, especially in people's management,
mm-hmm.
because we at Commune of Kronthurn, we are a bit more than 60 people working there,
right?
And the average age is very young.
Yeah.
So we recruited over 20 people in the last 5-6 years.
Wow. Mm.
And they're all very young. And they all kind of in a mindset of myself, and
it's
is a big opportunity.
Yeah,
I mean, it would probably be more difficult for me to work with and nothing against elderly people, yeah, but just to work with people who have been there for a long time, because community content has grown a lot and things change a lot, and change is not necessarily easy to digest for some people,
of course,
especially if you're there for already 30 years.
Yes.
Yeah, so this gives a big advantage for the commune also, but also for my way of management.
Yeah.
Yeah, to bring a bit of fresh air into the room.
That is fantastic. Let's take a short break. Petite voix chante de sirène qui me dit mais viens, vas-y prends ma main. Allez, je t'emmène. Ah, 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 qui me dit tout pas? Comme ça, faut faire des choix. T'as quoi dans la tête? Mène des combats, crois en toi. Le monde est là, pars à sa conquête. Et j'entends loin, 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 cette petite voix chante de sirène qui me dit mais viens, va vers ton destin. Faut pas que tu freines. Welcome back, everybody. So for Dali, not only he is a young and rising star of a politician, he's also a very successful businessman. And he runs several really famous and successful and delicious restaurants in Luxembourg. I am, for one, a big fan of the Lamian shops in Luxembourg that you run. I go there quite often, actually. is it more of a family influence, or is it something of your own passion?
yeah. Okay. Thank you for the comments. I mean, I try to do my best, but I think I don't do anything very out of the extraordinary. But however, what is important to me in the things that I do is that first, I need to feel an impact in what I do. And I think a lot of young people are searching for impacts in what they do. It's not just the revenue. It's important as well. But I mean the import and the contribution that you feel while doing your work is just as important, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, why I wish to do the hospitality, why I like to work in the hospitality industry is certainly not because of my parents.
Right, okay.
So their way of doing things, oh my God, I don't. Yeah, I don't approve. But I mean, what is very nice about the hospitality industry is not only that you're very close to the people, but also that your impact is pretty strong. I mean, I used to work in a bank before.
Yeah.
And nothing against bank. I was very happy there as well. Mm. But since it's a very large bank, obviously your impact is pretty low. And if you're there or if you're not there, you know, when you're sick or whatever, somebody else just do it. But here, I always felt a genuine contribution when I have people coming into my store or restaurant and they're having a good time through something that I kind of created.
Yeah.
So that gives me far more satisfaction than what they pay in the end.
Well, and, just imagining, you know, Chinese parents, you know, an excellent son raised after, you know, all of these years, hard work, teenage years, finally secure a job in a national bank, great career, stability, good income, nice lifestyle. And all of a sudden he said, no, I'm just going to leave all of that behind and start my own business. Were your parents shocked, surprised?
They were completely against it because actually they, of course, they work very hard their whole entire life. And because they work so hard, they thought, no, it's not a good idea for our son or our kids to pursue the same career and go through the same pain.
I tell you what, every single Chinese on the planet would resonate that.
Yeah. And of course, they were really struggling to accept,
right?
But only also because of a certain level of ignorance, because they thought I would do the same.
Ah, right.
If I would do the same like they would do, so basically be in a restaurant every day and working from morning to evening and having no breaks and no rest and no vacations, I wouldn't do.
Right.
Yeah. So. Of course, there are so many factors that led to this decision. It's not only that I wanted impact. I took it also very personally because I started, before I started the ramen shops, I took over my mom's restaurant, which is a restaurant in kind of in the middle of nowhere in Mutwart.
Yeah.
And so not even on the main street. And really, nobody really knows about it.
Tell us about Lao Shi, because it's your passion project and it has become really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, Lao Shi is a project that I just started without knowing what I actually will do. I just know that the Chinese food in general, the perception of Chinese food in Luxembourg was not the best.
Right.
I mean, I work in the city and every time I talk to my colleague, let's go maybe for Chinese food. They say, oh, no, Dali. No disrespect to you, but, but man, Chinese food, I don't know. So
it's not trendy, is
it? Yeah,
it?
It's not trendy and the food kind of tastes the same everywhere and the dim sums are frozen and everything.
Bad reputation.
So, yeah, it's not the best, let's say. Of course, I took it personally, even though I know that they didn't mean any harm. But I took it personally because I grew up in this.
Yeah, you want to change it.
Yes. So I mean, it's same as politics. There are some things that just disturbs you in a sense that you say, okay, instead of just saying, what a shit, let's do it.
Yeah, instead of complaining, actually get on with it.
Yeah, we are, you know.
Good Chinese mentality.
And very different from Luxembourgish mentality. Yeah. They are champions in complaining. But I mean, that's okay. That's okay. But I mean, yeah, instead of complaining, just do it yourself. And I struggled very hard for 2 or 3 years. I eventually made Lao Tse the restaurant I really wanted to make. Authentic, homemade, and truth to yourself. Yeah?
Did you have a vision when you first started that what kind of restaurant eventually you want to build into? Or was it more of a go with the flow and see how it happens kind of thing?
No, I mean, I detected the flaws of a lot of Chinese restaurants in Luxembourg, mainly that they don't promote enough homemade food, even if they do.
Right.
Some do, some don't, I don't know, but nobody knows if it's homemade or not.
Yeah.
And that was one thing. The second thing is, I mean, the culinary culture of China is so vast.
Absolutely.
And all we propose is like 1% of what's there. And even this 1% is kind of European influenced. Yes. Yeah. So there are dishes I don't even know, like the pineapple things and the beef with onion and all the classics that Luxembourgish people know. Well, I've never seen in China first, and second, I think my cook doesn't even cook it very well. So I just went. I want authentic food. Mm-hmm. I want homemade food, and I'm convinced that what surprised me is when I go back. And I went back a couple of times with Luxembourgish friends to China. And every time they come back, they say, well, the food was amazing. Mm. And the food was so different.
So
from
different,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I say, why don't we do something? I mean, I cannot copy everything and I don't have to know how to copy everything. But I can go into this direction.
Yeah.
And eventually led to success, yeah.
And I suppose you have to hire a pretty good chef for that.
Actually, it's the same chef as my mom's.
Really?
Yeah.
So how did you transform his cooking?
Yeah. Basically, it was not too difficult. I just said, man, what do you like to cook? And that's where COVID played also in our hands in some sense, that it gave us time.
Yeah.
It gave us time and it gave us... If I would be in the daily business right away, like my parents were, even though it was not busy, I would maybe more be focused on trying to optimize.
Yes.
Instead of changing. Yes. Although I had the change in my head, but... Because the business is kind of running,
yeah, it will be
kind
difficult
of
to implement it. Yeah.
And you have to take extra time in order to implement that. But with COVID, we had actually more time to focus on cooking or bringing out a genuine menu that is very, how do you say, influenced by the cook himself.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how actually this menu started. Also, I mean... This is the information that I gave out about food. So I built up social media.
Yeah.
Which at the time, very few restaurants did.
Particularly Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, Chinese restaurants.
There was nowhere near it.
No one at all. And I thought it was very important to give out the information.
Yeah.
And this combined with a different menu. Yeah, that caught up pretty quickly, though.
The other thing that I always find, particularly it's coming from my husband, in fact, is that this always seems to be a cliche style of decoration of all the Chinese restaurants in Luxembourg, that you have to have this weird dragon or phoenix pattern everywhere, whatever. It just... I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing, but it just always feels like there's such a stereotype about this kind of look of Chinese restaurants, and then people immediately associate it with the kind of Chinese food that they are familiar with in here in Luxembourg or sort of in Europe in general. But your restaurant looks quite funky and modern. Did you also have to put in any thoughts into maybe changing the ambience of the restaurant to go with the menu?
Actually, not too much. I mean, what is a fact is that indeed most restaurant resembles not only from the interior design but also menu wise.
Yeah,
and this has a reason, because most there were a few very good restaurants. Now a lot of chefs retired, but at the time there were two very good restaurants in Luxembourg City, and from there a lot of restaurants opened afterwards from the people who left these restaurants. And those people, of course, they say, man, this is a concept that works. This menu
like
works.
Copy and paste
and
from the success.
Exactly, this one. It's just another area.
Yeah.
So this spread like like a virus kind of thing. It went viral everywhere, and everywhere they did this kind of the same decoration, the same menu, sometimes even the same numbers on the menus.
Yeah.
For the dishes.
Yeah.
Because it's just exactly the same. Because they saw just by copying, and Chinese are very good in copying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Another cliche, but I mean, and they thought that in copying this, they will get the same success, which obviously is not true, because everybody cooks a dish differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think, where this the similarities come from. And for me, obviously, this is not the goal. My goal was certainly not to copy anything. I want authentic food and authentic food provided by people who are generally happy to cook them.
Yeah.
And that's why, from a decoration point of view, I didn't do too much changes.
Mm-hmm.
What I did is I promote some art,
yep.
especially from street photographers, Luxembourg photographers who went to China and did some exhibitions here in Luxembourg. I bought the pictures. Or a dear friend of mine, Sumo, who I support also, and from whom I buy also some art pieces. But except from that, it's pretty, it's kept pretty easy and clean.
And your social media campaign is also very successful. The content you created is very fun. It speaks the language of the modernity. I think it can build a lot of connections with particularly younger generations in Luxembourg and the city dwellers who are working in the finance district, but also can be related into a funky restaurant like that. Do you find that part of the success? Is that important to your business?
Yeah, I think it's very important because actually when I started, I lost a lot of customers.
Right.
Yes, I changed the menu and I removed the classical sushi and buffet thing.
Oh, yeah.
I threw that all out. I say, and my parents were like, oh, no, that's the only thing that gets us money. I say, no, I don't want this. And so the people who came for this, they were obviously disappointed.
Right.
And then I changed the dishes. There were dishes people don't know about.
Yeah.
And it was a gamble. It was certainly a gamble because I think I lost 80% of the clients at the time.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you're under a lot of pressure.
Yes, and I really was.
Right.
And the new ones took time to come.
Yeah.
But I mean, as I grew up and I ate a lot outside when I was working at the bank, I know what people want and
yes.
I know what people yes. are seeking for. So I believed in this, even though the times were hard. But I believed in this concept and eventually it worked out.
Yeah. And are your parents happy now?
Yeah, yeah, of course. They hit on me a couple of times. They said, go back. It's time to go back now. Now you had your fun, now you go back. Yeah.
Chinese parents are always Chinese parents.
Yeah, they will never change.
Well, that was a really interesting story from your side, and it's a bit of insight about running a restaurant business, and it's always quite. I always think that it's really hard work, keeping a restaurant going and keep the business going. But it's really nice to see that you make a big success out of it, and also you are satisfied and you're happy with running this business. And now you also own this ramen noodle chains in Luxembourg and beyond. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah. So. Indeed, I mean
that's quite different from the Laoshe project.
It's very different because in Laoshe, I realized there were some significant risk, especially the way I did Laoshe or I transformed Laoshe. Because if I have five guys in the kitchen,
yeah,
if I lose two of them, I lose maybe 60% of the menu.
Right.
So that is not something that is for me very sustainable. It's very risky, actually.
Yeah.
And most restaurants, actually, in Luxembourg have this problem. And that's why it's always very difficult to find staff.
But
especially with mine, because the dishes are linked very closely to the people who cook them. It's not the standard dish that you can find in every
right.
Chinese restaurant.
So it's very dependent
on the chefs.
Right.
Chefs. So, I mean, I give him a lot of credit for it, but at the same time, what if he gets sick? What if he doesn't want to do it anymore? What if?
Yeah.
So I still had to be honest with myself, and I say, since I'm not a cook, I need to do something else in order to assure that I survive in this industry.
Diversify your
yeah,
risks.
Yeah, I need to survive in this industry somehow. And by the time, I always wanted to participate in a trend.
Yep.
And ramen was very trendy at the time, especially in other major cities.
Yes, I just came back from Belgium for a holiday a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the ramen shops everywhere.
It's too much. At the moment.
It's too much. It's one small street. You can see three ramen shops.
Yeah. The cleanup comes soon. Yes. I think the cleanup will come soon because there's too much. It's like sushi at the time.
Yeah.
Everywhere there was sushi, but only the good ones eventually survived. But Lamia itself, it had a very, how do you say, idyllic. I had always a very idyllic view on ramen because I'm as a manga fan also.
I
read a lot of manga.
I can tell that from the restaurant. Yeah. There are manga everywhere.
There are manga everywhere, exactly. It's very personal. It's a very personal project. Manga, in the mangas that I read, ramen was a very comforting food.
Yes.
Especially after a fight,
yes,
or some major event happening. Everybody sits around the table, have a ramen.
Yes.
It was so idyllic.
Mm-hmm.
I say, wow. I even though I never tasted ramen when I was a kid reading the manga,
right.
I said this is one of the best products ever. You know,
dreams are true,
yeah,
come true.
Not even I did the own manga because there is this book that will come out this summer.
Right.
It's the first tome of Kaito. It's the story behind.
Wow.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Took 1 year.
Wow,
to
that's
make this
amazing.
Project. Yeah. We did it with a French company who specialized in production of mangas.
Wow, that's so
with
cool.
With the scenarios, with the guy who draws it. And so
right.
It took a lot of time to produce this booklet. And so it will come out this summer.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And it tells a bit also my view on society.
Yes.
And also,
yes.
Yeah, it's a very personal project, as I said. And so I linked these two things, so ramen and manga, I linked them into one concept, which became eventually Kaito, which is much more systemic restoration mechanism than Lao Tzu, for example. So very different. But we focus very much on high-quality products and on branding.
Yeah.
So basically, it's very different though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the menus are done with Japanese chefs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we fly them in. Sometimes they come from other countries from Europe.
Right.
To do workshops together.
Yeah.
And so what is important to know, it's not an advertisement, but what is important to know is I want to be authentic in all the projects I do. So the noodles and soup bases are 100% Japanese.
Right.
So they are done with 100% Japanese wheat, Japanese water even. So
right.
It's fresh noodles coming straight from Japan.
Right. Yeah. That is very good to know for someone like me.
You taste the difference. I mean, it's
frequent customer.
Frequent customer, okay. No, I didn't know.
That was amazing and really exciting about the manga project. I did not know that. And would it be available in the restaurant?
In stores.
In
only.
Store, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And do people go there to read or do people have to buy them?
You can buy them. You can buy them there. Along with some merchandising. You know,
okay.
You need to have fun also in what you do. I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
That will not bring any money. It's actually a financial catastrophe, but it's okay. I mean, you have to find happiness and find fun also in what you
exactly.
in what you do.
Yeah. Just before I end today's conversation, I want to go back to your political career because you are now the mayor of Compton, and you know, there's a lot of anticipation, particularly looking at your profile, you know, coming from an immigrant family, but born and raised in Luxembourg, very young, very energetic, entrepreneur, very successful businessman. You fit all the bills. You've got a fantastic profile. And so from your personal point of view, I wanted to press you on this question. Are you thinking about going national? Do you want to be a national politician? Do you want to be maybe the first Chinese prime minister of Luxembourg one day?
How do you answer this?
No
I'm
pressure.
I'm a very realistic person, and I do things step by step, and I never try to project myself because I know that things don't come as you think.
Yeah, the plans always change.
I've gone through too much to know, ah, I want to be there at that time. No, you won't.
Right.
it's not going to be like this, and it's going to be not that time.
Well, so, in Chinese, we say that the plans can never come as quickly as the change.
Yeah, for sure. And Lao Tzu said, every adventure has to start with one first step.
There you
go. So we go really step by step. And for me, most importantly, and that's also the major reason why I started my political career, is to contribute on a communal level first.
Right.
I mean, if you can prove yourself on a communal level, why not?
Yeah.
Go further. But Prime Minister, I'm good with Luke. No, that is way too far to think about. Yeah.
Right. Well, we wish you all the very best luck, and also we wish you all the success on your personal business projects. And I would say that people in Canton could expect a very responsible, very dynamic mayor to build this bridge between politics and residential life. And I wanted to thank you, Dali, again for coming to spend the time with us. And I hope that this concludes our program for now, and give our listeners a wonderful opportunity to reflect, to think, and to get connected again. So thank you everybody for listening, and thank you everyone for coming along the way with us. Pan and Hotpot might take a pause for now, but our conversations, dialogues, and communications are always here. So thank you everyone. I won't see you next time, but I wish you all the very best of luck.你去想一想